Here's what I wonder about zombies.
Oh.
What happens if they can't get any human flesh to eat? They can't starve to death. They're already dead.
You take this one. I spent an hour last night on how do vampires shave when they can't see themselves in the mirror.
Well-groomed vampires meet in pairs and shave each other. Case closed.
Yeah, okay, so zombies.
I guess it depends on the zombies, Raj. Are we talking slow zombies, fast zombies? Like in 28 days, if those zombies didn't eat, they starve.
Yeah, you're thinking of 28 days later. 28 days is where Sandra Bullock goes to rehab and puts the audience into an undead state.
Hey, don't bag on Sandra Bullock. You think it makes you look cultured, but you just come off as bitter.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the last podcast of PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast for 2023.
Shut up. I think we're going to just leave that in as a bit of a fluff there. So we're going to go
nobody
back.
Nobody would have noticed if you hadn't said anything.
I didn't say a thing, but 2003 sounds awesome. This is the last episode for this year, 2023, not 2003.
And we're your hosts, married couple and Big Bang Theory super fans, Kat.
And Paul.
See how mean he is to me.
I love her. It's okay.
Uh-huh.
She just got all excited because this is the last episode of the year.
It is.
It is. And as we said, now when are we coming back? When is our first season?
Oh, yeah, you would ask me that when I don't have my calendar right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me give my calendar.
Hang on, I got it right here. So we're coming back on the... When do we drop these on Mondays, right?
Monday. So we've got this
the
one.
8th of January.
Yeah, so the 8th of January. So, yeah. That's going to be our first time we come back is the 8th of January. So yep. Everyone's going to have to just hold on tight.
We know it's a lot to ask, but, you know, we want a little bit of a break.
Yeah. Well, because I do the Horror Crypt podcast. You know, we've taken a bit of a break from the other one, the Home Class Movie Chat.
And we're actually going to catch up on the Home Class Movie Chat and get that ready to relaunch in February.
Yeah.
So mark your calendars.
Yeah, so we've just decided that, you know, over the holiday season, we'd like to actually spend some time with each other without having to do a podcast. We love and adore all of you for coming to visit us each week at PMS, but we're just going to have a bit of a break and come back fresh on January the 8th. So we are not leaving. We are not. That is not the end of the home class. That's not the end of PMS.
Well, a lot of podcasts that do weekly do them in batches so that they, you know, and seasons, and they'll take off like a month here and month there, but we don't do that. This is the first time we've taken a break since we started this podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the same as the Horror Crypt that I do. I am now into the early January.
Really? I thought you were up to July next year.
No, early January, but I've actually done a huge block, so I don't have to worry about that until, you know, I decide to get around to it, you know, either in December when I've got some time off.
He just loves it. He just loves podcasting, period.
I really do. If I could do it for a living, I'd be fine.
If I could make a living out of loving you, I'd be
a millionaire in a week or two. Doing what I love and
love what I do. If I could make a living out of loving you. Definitely, we will not make a living as singers.
This podcast now has become a sing-along. Now, last week's question.
Well, okay, so we have karaoke. So, what does that make this podoki?
Podoki. we just did podoki. Karaoke is when you sing in the car. Podoki is when you're doing a podcast, never sing song.
And just for the record, we have not had alcohol this morning.
No, we've just had one cup of coffee. Could you imagine if we're on alcohol? We could actually do a really awesome podcast if we actually had some alcoholic beverage under our...
Ooh, vodka cranberry.
Ooh, a nice glass of wine. I'd be like, that's a baby. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul's a little bit of a lightweight.
I am. Yeah, very much so. Now, we did a episode which was... we had a question last week, which was, when dating someone, have you ever had an unexpected meeting with an ex? And if so, how did it go? Now, unfortunately, we haven't had any responses.
Except I thought you said you had one.
We had an email. We didn't get any responses for the question on Spotify, but that'll actually happen. Someone will actually message us. But Stephanie actually emailed us and said that I am friends with the majority of my exes, so thankfully I have had no awkward encounters. That's awesome, because that's the way I think it should be. Just because you've broken up with somebody doesn't
that
mean...
says that just tells me that you're an adult.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you have to be an absolute dick to the to your ex-partner. So that's really nice that actually you're still friends with your ex. So
thank you
for that, Stephanie. Now, what did we think of this week's episode? To be honest with you, and I'll go, I'll say it to begin with, is that this was an okay episode. I didn't find it really engaging. It was okay. I can't even say it was good. I think it was just okay.
You're right. It's not the most engaging episode. It doesn't really forward the characters at all.
It doesn't really go anywhere.
There are some parts that make me laugh.
Yeah. But it really didn't go anywhere. I mean, we didn't see Bernadette. We only saw Amy briefly. We only saw Penny briefly. It really centers around the boys, which is fine. But I don't know.
We get to see Josh Molina as the president of the university. And I always like seeing him, because I first met Josh Molina on The West Wing. And so whenever I see him, I always think of The West Wing, which was always one of my favorite shows.
Mm. Yeah. But this episode is really... I looked at the running time on this episode. It's only 21 minutes.
Yeah.
It's really, really quick. And if this podcast goes really quick, we're not actually racing through it to get to the end so we can start having
our rest.
There's
just not
a
lot to it.
There's just really not a lot to talk about, because the episode opens up where we're seeing the gang and they're eating and chatting at the cafeteria, and we see that President Siebert actually comes into the cafeteria, and it's Howard actually says, "Wow, what's he doing?" And
now before that though, they're talking about what are they talking about?
Oh, they're talking about zombies, and this is where
what happens to them if they can't find human flesh because they're already dead. It's not like they can starve to death.
Exactly. So there's that conversation going backwards and forwards, and then at one stage,
Howard says, just don't get him. Leonard, you take this one, because I spent all day yesterday talking about how vampires shave each other when they can't see themselves in the mirror. Sheldon says they meet in pairs and shave each other. However, they're both wrong, because vampires are dead and they don't need to shave because the hair doesn't grow when you're dead.
Oh, yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Hair and fingernails still do grow.
I don't believe you.
Really? You can look it up. It's a fact.
Okay, fine.
No, it's been known that hair and fingernails do still grow. Maybe not at a huge rapid rate, but I mean, if you're a dead vampire, obviously your hair is still going to grow. So because they're dead, they're not buried. I don't know what the folklore between vampires and stuff, but I do know that when you are dead, your fingernails and your hair does still grow. I think that is a scientific fact, unless I've been lied to all my life, in which case this could be the year 2003. I don't know.
Hang on.
We could be in the year 2003, peoples. If that's the case, I've got Everyone speak amongst yourselves for a bit. Go and get a coffee. No, don't get a coffee. Well, actually, yes. Go get a coffee, but take us with you.
So this is from UAMS Health.
Okay.
From 2019. Hair and fingernails may appear longer after death, but not because they are still growing. Instead, a person's fingernails and hair may appear longer because the skin around them has retracted. After death, dehydration causes the skin and other soft tissues to shrink. This occurs while the hair and nails remain the same length. This change in the body creates the optical illusion of growth that people observe.
Right. So I've been lied to for my entire life, people.
Who told you that?
I've always heard that it was a well-known fact that our hair and fingernails still keep growing. Well, there we go. So it is the year 2003, not 2023. I've been lied to. Oh, my God. Well, there we go. Then we know then that they don't have to shave because they won't grow any hair. Yes. There we are.
So then Dr. Siebert enters.
And he comes over and he basically says to the guys that he wants to invite them to a party tonight because, you know, there's a fundraiser. And
no, he says, I want to invite you to a party. There's an open bar, good eats, possibility of pretty girls.
And it comes down to the fact that even Sheldon says, uh-huh.
So what's the catch?
What's the catch? And he basically says that, you know, it's a fundraiser to try and get some more money for the university to fund some departments. And this is where Sheldon does say, well, you know, I'm not going to bow down to that sort of scenario, you know. And it's like, well, this is how universities get funding. And it's only after he speaks to Amy that Amy says, well, how?
Well, that's in another scene.
I know, but I'm saying because this scene doesn't really go anywhere after this.
No, it doesn't.
So when we see that.
Basically, Siebert saying, party tonight, be there.
Yeah. So then we see in the next scene, we've got Penny actually tying a tie for Leonard, and it is the worst tying job I've ever seen. The tongue of the tie is way longer than the actual tie itself. And he's like, are you sure this is right? And she goes, yeah, just tuck that bit into your pants. It's a very, very, very poor excuse for a tie.
Even Penny. I know how to tie a tie properly.
Yeah. But when you see that Raj and Howard enter the room and they're like, okay, you know, are we going to go? And, you know, and of course, is like, where's Sheldon? And Sheldon comes out in his regular outfit and he's like, well, Sheldon is not going because just tell Dr. Siebert that I am tearing off the fabric, the mask.
Tearing the mask off the face of nature, off of nature so that I can look at the face of God.
And like a Penny goes, you are not going to do that. You're going to be doing your laundry.
It's Saturday. You'll be doing laundry. And he's like, yeah, well, don't tell him that. Tell him the mask thing.
So when we see that they were going off to the, they actually got to the party. This is the three boys. And of course, this is where Dr. Siebert comes over and goes, where's Dr. Cooper? And Leonard says exactly what you said.
Rolls his eyes and says he's tearing the mask off nature so he can look at the face of God.
Yeah. And it's like, and of course, Dr. Siebert's like, you know, a lot of people say he's just a genius, but I don't know.
He has a beautiful mind. Personally, I think he's just bananas.
Yeah. But then the scene quickly switches back to the apartment and we're seeing that Sheldon and Amy are on a video chat with each other. And we do see that Amy is making a valid point. She's like, you know, how do you think that I got my funding? There are sometimes you've got to go to these fundraisers. You've got to go and not so much schmooze, but really make sure that they're aware that, I mean, there are people that have got so much money. They like to donate stuff. And you've even said to me a minute ago, that if we had the amount of money that these people have, you'd like to set up a scholarship for women that would like to go back to university and get a degree.
I went back to finish my bachelor's degree in my mid-30s, and it was a real struggle. And I'm still paying off my student loans. And I would love to set up a scholarship at my alma mater for women like me who are over 30 and decide that they want to take a different direction with their life and go back to university to get their degree. I'd love to set it up so they get like $10,000 a year so it'll cover their rent and living expenses so they don't have to worry so hard.
So, I mean, it's not because there are rich people out there that have got so much money, they just are so bored, they don't know what to do with. There are genuinely rich people out there that want to contribute more to society by giving back to the society that made them rich.
Totally.
So by doing this, Amy is explaining to Sheldon, is like, I know you don't want to do it, Sheldon, but there are some times you do have to do this because the university's only got a finite amount of funding.
Yeah,
there are rich donors that actually help make up the shortfall of money that they don't have.
And of course, she finally puts the fear of God into Sheldon by saying, if you're not there, then leaving the pitch is going to fall to Leonard and Rajesh. Or even more so, they could, if you're not there, they could choose to give it to the liberal arts and the humanity, you know,
or geology.
Or not the dirt people. And finally, when she's like, or the liberal arts and this and that. And he's like, so Sheldon says, oh, the humanities. It's actually a play on Herb Morrison's 1937 radio account of the destruction of the airship of the Hindenburg. Part of Morrison's report included the phrase, oh, the humanity.
Yes. When I heard that, I'm like, oh, that's where it came from. Yeah.
You knew that one.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. All the humanity. Yes. Yeah, impressive. Absolutely. the Hindenburg when it was going down.
Yeah.
And there was people standing there, and then someone yelled out, "All the humanity." Yeah.
Absolutely. That was the radio announcer.
Yeah. I knew that one. That's long, long ago. I knew that one.
I'm impressed. I didn't know that one.
Thank you. So we go back to the fundraiser. We go back to the party, and we're seeing that Raj, Howard, and Leonard are actually being introduced to this lady by the name of Mrs. Latham, and she's a very wealthy lady that wants to help contribute to, you know, the university. So
now I'd like to point out that Mrs. Latham is played by Jessica Walter, and she played the villainess Morgan Le Fay in the TV movie Doctor Strange in 1978. And of course, Doctor Strange is an all-time favorite, geek favorite in the comic book world.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yep.
So we see that Dr. Sievert goes and introduces, you know, Mrs. Latham to the boys. And, you know, it's like, you know, this is Dr. Leonard Hofstadter, Dr. Rajesh Guthrie-Polly, and Mr. Howard Wolowitz. And she goes, "What's the matter, Wolowitz? You couldn't stick around long enough to get your PhD?" And he goes, "I think I'm going to just hit the bar." And
he's like, "I'm an engineer, and engineers don't really need PhDs."
Yeah.
And I'd like to point out that I designed the waste disposal unit for NASA. And she's like, "Oh, so you're a space plumber."
Yeah. And this is where he goes, "I think I'll just go hit the bar." And she goes, "Okay, well, Dr. That's where he goes, she speaks to Leonard.
Well, next, Dr. Sievert's like, "They're doing some really impressive work." And so she turns to Leonard and she's like, "Okay, impress me."
No, she goes, "Well, okay, so tell me, what's the first machine you turn on when you first get into your lab?" Well, no,
first she says, "Impress me." And Howard's like, "Ah, blah, 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 blah."
That's what Leonard does that. And she goes, "Oh, isn't it so cute about when they're about to wet themselves?"
And then she turns to Raj and says, says the coffee machine.
Yeah, she says, what
machine do you turn on first?
And he goes, coffee maker? She goes, okay. Dr. Raj,
whatever.
You're up. And he goes, I need to go to Tinkle
and walks away.
So we see that maybe these guys have all crashed and burned on this whole scenario. So later we're seeing that Leonard and Howard and Raj are at the buffet, and they're actually loading up their plates. And Mrs. Latham comes over, and because they're lamenting about the fact that they crashed and burned. And Mrs. Latham's like, "Oh, you didn't do that bad." And I like it how Leonard goes, "Mrs. Latham, the first machine that I turn on is the photon laser." And she goes, "I no longer care, dear." And this is where we see that Sheldon has actually made the efforts to come into the fundraiser. And he'd already told everyone that he's got a touch phobia, but it's not a touch phobia. It's a fear of germs, because when they're sitting in the cafeteria, Dr. Sievert comes over and puts his hands on Sheldon's shoulder.
And he put him on Leonard and Sheldon's shoulders. Yeah.
But you know, Sheldon's like, "How long are you going to have your hand there?" He goes, "Oh, that's right. I forget you've got a touch phobia." And he's like, "No, it's a fear of germs." So when you see that Sheldon comes into the fundraiser, all you hear is, "No, no, no, I don't want to shake your hands. I'm just here for the money."
Yeah, "I'm just here for your money. I don't want to touch anybody's germy hands."
Yeah, tell him, Sievert. So we're seeing that whole thing is going on.
But anyway, so Mrs. Latham is over with the boys at the table. And Raj has already said, "Look at the size of these shrimp. This is awesome." And she's like, "Well, you know what? It's okay." And Leonard's like, "That was good for you."
And she's
like, "Oh, well, it's just fun to make smart people feel uncomfortable." And he's like, "Really?" She's like, "Watch." And she looks at Raj, who's in the middle of eating the shrimp. And she says, "Who said you could eat that shrimp?"
Of course, he immediately puts it down and starts spitting it out.
Yeah. And she looks at Leonard and says, "See? Fun."
So now we transition back to the apartment. And the next morning, Sheldon's got a phone call from President Sievert telling him to stay away from fundraisers. And it's like, you know, first you say you want me there. Now you're saying you don't want me there. You know, make your mind up, President Sievert. What do you want from me? You know, sort of scenario. And Leonard has come in for a cup of coffee, and we're hearing there's a beep on the phone. And Sheldon says, "Listen, maybe you can organize your thoughts into some cohesion and call me back later and we can discuss this further." And he says, you know, "Cooper Hofstadter residence, go for Cooper." And we hear that it's Mrs. Latham, and Mrs. Latham has called for Leonard. And Mrs. Latham has actually invited him out to dinner. So now we see that, you know, this whole thing is going to play out where Mrs. Latham wants to discuss more about Leonard's work. And this is a really great sign for Leonard, because if Mrs. Latham has a discussion with him, maybe his department, the physics department, which is also going to benefit Sheldon greatly, will actually get more money. So, you know, Sheldon's all for the fact that he's going to go out and maybe have a conversation with Mrs. Latham. So we see that Mrs. Latham and him, you know, they're in the car and they're coming back from the dinner, you know. And we're seeing that it starts to become a little bit uncomfortable, so much so that it ends up that Mrs. Latham, similar to Leonard's mother, decides.
Well, it starts out with him saying, "You actually, you know, I only eat this." He's like, "This was a really lovely dinner." She's like, "Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it." And he's like, "Yeah, the only time I ever really eat this well is when my mother comes to town. You actually remind me a little bit of her. She enjoys making people uncomfortable too."
Until she suddenly leans in and kisses him. And this is
where Leonard... he's like, "Now you don't remind me so much of my mother."
So Leonard does make
I should an hope ex- not.
I hope so. I hope not too. So Leonard does make an excuse to go home, but when he gets back to the apartment, he walks in and he is like, they're like, "Oh, how did the dinner go?" And he goes, "Yeah, great, I need a drink." And we find out that they've got no alcohol in the place and he's really looking befuddled. So we've got Howard, we've got Sheldon, we've got Penny, we've got Raj, and they're all sitting there. And this is where Penny picks up the, "What's going on, Leonard? What's the matter?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, the dinner was going really well until she decided to stick her tongue in my throat. Or in my mouth." So we're seeing that she's really cracked on to Leonard. And so they're all very excited about the fact that there might be a possibility that if Leonard happens to sleep with Mrs. Latham, there may be a definite possibility that the physics department will get the money that they are actually looking
and for. And Sheldon looks at Penny and says, "You're used to trading sexual favors for material goods. Explain this to him." And she's like, "Hey," he's like, "It's a compliment. Learn to recognize it."
Exactly. So once again, Mrs. Latham invites him out, Leonard out, the following night for dinner. And this is where Leonard has proclaimed, "I am not going to sleep with her." And he walks out and he's in a very nice suit. And he says, listen, I'm just going to go out. I won't be long. I'm going to go out, have dinner with Mrs. Latham, make my final pitch. And that's it. And I like it how Sheldon goes, wait a minute. Before you go out, I've made you like, and it's almost like a little carry on bit of like, not little, it's almost
no,
like
a it's, little, it's a ditty bag.
A ditty bag. Thank you. And it contains condoms, Viagra, baby oil, and a picture of Mrs. Latham as a 25-year-old to get your motor running, you know. Rawr.
Look at those saddle shoes.
And Leonard says he won't prostitute himself. And this is where, you know, Sheldon is still trying to get the old, you know, listen, you know, and I like it how when, this is probably one of the best lines, when Leonard leaves the apartment, he said,
Sheldon is standing in the hallway yelling down the stairs.
Yeah. Saying, "Over the years of self-abuse, you might want to put your genitals to good use for once."
And like of course, Penny's standing there listening to this.
And Penny's like, "He still won't shag the old lady, huh?" And he goes, "No, sadly, no."
But thank you for asking.
So now we're seeing that Leonard gets in the car with Mrs. Latham. And,
is a very attractive woman.
Very nice lady. And she actually expresses her apology for last night before, you know, the whole thing, because she said, "Listen, you know, you're a very attractive man, Leonard."
She's like, "You know what? You're going to get the money because you guys are doing really good research." And then he's like, "Well, then what was last night?" She's like, "I took a shot. So sue me.
Yeah. Cause she's like, you know, there would be,
he's no like, there's possible... no
quid pro quo.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because
more
it's
coffee
like,
needed.
Because it's like, she's like, you know, there's no reason that a man like you would be interested in a woman like me, but I just took a shot at the possibility, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it how she says to him, you know,
so she's a cougar.
Oh yeah, she's definitely a cougar. But she says, "Just a FYI, you know, a night with me you would remember for the rest of your life." And he goes, why?
She's like, "Well, how do you think I landed such a rich husband?
I'm that good."
And he's like, "Oh, what the hell?" And kisses her.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. So.
Oh, the best scene is the next one, though.
So the next morning, we're seeing that Leonard is walking upstairs doing.
He's kind of almost crawling up the stairs.
He must have had a very vigorous night.
Yeah.
I mean, hello.
He's looking a little saddle sore.
As far as I'm concerned, he would need to get into the apartment, find some peas, and sit on them.
Yeah.
Because his genitals would be rather hot and sore at this moment.
Yeah, he's looking a little saddle sore.
And I love it how Penny catches him walking upstairs doing the walk of shame, and she says, "Good morning, slut." And he goes, what? And she goes, oh, please. I don't think I noticed the walk of shame. All you need
all you're
is
missing is a smudge of mascara and a
and so and your panties wadded up in your purse.
Bag.
And so we see that Sheldon opens the door and she and he's like, What's going on? And Leonard's like, nothing. And he walks in and she and he goes, you're just getting home now? And he goes, yeah. And she goes, and he goes, that's a good sign, right? And looks at Penny and she goes, oh yes. And he goes, oh, I'm so proud of you. You've prostituted yourself, and this is where you know
he's like, he, I didn't do it for the
for
money.
The money. And she goes, he goes, what? She stiffed you? And she, Penny's like, no, I think that's what your roommate did to her. And he goes, no, I got the money up front. And
I love oh, good, said, get paid. I think you have a future in gigolo work, Leonard.
Yeah, get paid first. Good idea. And so we do see that that whole scenario is played out in the apartment. The final scene of this episode is we see that Leonard is walking into the university and President Siebert's in and he goes, there he is, the man of the hour, and man of the hour, and he took one for the team, and they're all starting to applaud him and all that. And I like it how Leonard says to President Siebert, I didn't do it for the money. And then he goes, it's okay, keep telling yourself that, it makes it easier. I know. And we're all seeing that everyone's gathering around him, all applaud him. And as the credits roll, you got to be really quick, you hear Howard's voice can be heard asking, so how was she? The episode goes black, and that is the end of this episode.
Yeah, there really wasn't much to this one.
It really wasn't. This was a, it was an okay episode. It was, yeah, it was just okay. I thought it was, there were some funny moments as far as him walking up the stairs, as far as, you know, Howard asking how was she, that very last moment. But all in all, it was an episode that was pretty forgettable. There are some really great episodes coming up.
Yeah.
But this one was almost like a, we really don't know what to do. We never see Mrs. Latham again.
No.
Which is fine because she's only just donating to the university. But as Amy did say, and I think it definitely, it is true what she was saying. You know, there are sometimes you've got to do this, not go and prostitute yourself, but you've got to go.
No, but you do have, as Siebert says, sometimes we have to shake a few hands and kiss a few butts.
Yeah, because the university has only got a finite amount of money.
Yeah.
And without the generous donations of those people that are well off or are able to help us out, we're just not going to be able to get the funding to keep these programs going. And it's interesting, one of the programs that might be cut is the program that might end up by discovering the cure for cancer.
Yeah.
So we've always got to be really careful about those sort of things. We don't know what we're going to cut. It's almost like cutting, you know, the liberal arts and find out that we've missed out on the next Robert De Niro or, you know, Shakespeare, you know, so we've really got to be very careful with that. So it is good. That
although back in the day, Shakespeare wasn't Shakespeare.
Yeah. But it is really nice that we know that there are some people out there, philanthropists and stuff like that, who actually are willing to donate money to those, you know, things yep. that are really needed in the community and in the world. So
exactly.
But no, I actually it was an okay episode. I can't say it was.
Do we have a question for this week?
This week's question, because it's the last one of the year, you know, I've asked so many questions throughout the season. I just want to find out from everyone, where are you listening to us from?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah. Where are you?
Not what know? Platform, where no, in the
where?
World?
Where in the world, you know, are you listening to us in America? And what city are you listening to us in America? Or if you're listening to us in England, whereabouts in England are you listening to? So basically,
God, I miss England.
So basically, this week's question is going to be, where in the world are you listening to us from?
That's where in the world are PMS listeners?
We'll go with my question. Where in the world are you listening to us from? Yes. I mean, we love your sing song, darling, but that was... That's fine.
Well, I thought it was funny.
It was very funny. I liked it.
Uh-huh.
I did.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Your face is telling a different story.
If you want to send Kat a condolence email about my non-laughing about that joke, please send us at perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com and send Kat a message to say, Kat, we are sympathetic to your plight. We thought it was funny.
Thank you.
Yes.
I hope to hear from you.
Yes. Perpetual Motion Squad.
Or if you'd rather I didn't sing, you can say that too, I suppose.
No, your singing's awesome. No, I think it's great.
And so, who was that email again?
Perpetual Motion Squad 00@gmail.com.
Okay, cool. So this week, we had two lunches at Caltech and one snacks at home, if anybody's following along. And we have Chuck Lorre Productions Crazy Credits number 328. They weren't not in love. It's just that the subject, as such, never really came up. It kind of loomed over them like a blissfully stupid cloud. The love cloud. Guaranteed to rain on your brain till you're moaning with serotonin. Maybe that's what was happening was that they were in love with the idea of being in love. But that's still love, right? Instead of loving each other, they loved an idea, an aspiration, a wish. The other person was more or less of an afterthought, somewhat expendable, or at the very least, interchangeable. I love that you make me feel like I'm in love. You, on the other hand, I can take or leave. Of course, it was just a matter of time before the truth of each other, the hard fact of their unique selfness, their one-of-a-kind snowflakiness became unavoidable. I may be a broken toy, but you're a Chinese crib factory that uses lead paint. Saying goodbye in these circumstances is always very awkward. I just had your car towed. That's okay. Those flip videos I said I erased are now on the internet.
Chuck Lorre has got the strangest mind.
I know, right?
He really does. And that is... Okay, that is very weird.
That was a bit surreal. Okay, so next week.
Next time
will be season. Yeah, well, if people are listening to this in the future, it'll be next week because it'll be able to download it immediately and just binge through them. So, whatever. Yes.
But those of us who are listening on week after week, you're going to see.
We're here with us live.
Yes, you're going to see a gap between this episode and next one.
Either way, see the next episode is season 4, episode 16, the cohabitation formulation where Priya is back.
All right. So this, as I said, this week's question is going to be, where in the world are you listening from? And we want to wish everybody a wonderful Christmas and a very happy and healthy, prosperous and exciting 2024.
Yes.
And thank you very much once again for coming to visit us every single week at Perpetual Motion Squad. We're really pleased that you guys keep coming back week after week.
And know that we absolutely love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being part of the PMS podcast. And if you haven't done already, please leave us a like and a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you know anyone who would like to join the conversation, please invite them because we love expanding the group and the conversation.
And remember, you're not just part of the Perpetual Motion Squad podcast. You are the part of the PMS. You are the PMS family.
You are. And so we love you like nobody else will love you. Not like Howard, not in the creepy way.
We're not doing the creepy way at all.
All right. So that being said, thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time. And in the meantime, we'll catch up with the Cheesecake Factory.
Bye, everyone.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me. I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Why can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, it all started with the Big Bang.